Well, I want to greet you all in the name of Christ Jesus this morning. We have a wonderful God that has been very faithful in guiding us. Appreciate the service thus far. I enjoyed your devotional there, Merlin. It tied very close. It's a good prelude to the message here this morning. This morning I'm going to share a message that was actually assigned for tonight at chapel. So I'm sorry you have to maybe be the guinea pig, but you may freely give your criticism or suggestions that I can change this afternoon. So message title is Exchanging This World for the Kingdom of God. It's a very practical thing that we as Christians have to look at and to consider. While the people of God are called to come out of this world ever since there was sin in this world, I believe it only keeps on being more of an urgent subject that we have to look into and study. As life continues, the devil only becomes more crafty, at trying to attract our attention and pulling our focus away from things of God. Today we live here in a country that we experience a great deal of freedom, you could say. We can worship openly. We can have windows that are wide open here and not be fearful that someone's going to turn us in. We live in a country and time where not only we have religious freedom, but we are fairly, would you say, financial stable. We can afford about anything we want. And if not, there's bankers and credit card companies that are there knocking on your door telling you, sure, why not? Go get it. You only live once. They're telling you that you deserve it, or your children deserve it. Today we also live in a time that there's intimidation to fit in. And if we bend to that, comes only more spending to look good to others, your neighbors, your friends. And we can start to compromise our standards to fit in to general society. We're living in a time when, if you want it, you get it. We are also living in a time when the world is calling our attention. The world recognizes that the Christians have something that the general population does not. They see that they can see that the Christian stands for better morals. And with that we see a call for a Christian society to get more involved in the government because of what they could bring to the government. We also see more and more so-called Christians going to vote and taking on jobs in the government sector in the name of bringing good influence and change to America. We're also living in a time that we are hearing a lot more talk about God and government. In recent weeks, we see Trump rolling back a lot of, would you say, woke far-left policies that have gone against Christians' beliefs. And we as Christians can look at that, and we get almost excited to see what all is happening. And as we see these so-called good things happening, we start to hold up the person that is doing it all, and our focus starts to slip from the one that is really in charge, which is God. As we get excited because it seems that we may be heading to a more secure religious freedom time, it becomes increasingly easy to lose sight of our Lord Jesus Christ. All in all, we are living in a country that is looked up to as a place of security and a land of opportunity. Exchanging this world for the kingdom of God. You could ask, isn't this world God's? God made us and put us in this world. So are we not supposed to enjoy it? Not a single one of you here were able to choose to whom you were born to, what country you were born in, or the influences that you had before you were able to care for yourself. God was the only one that could control that. So why would he put us in this place and only tell us that we need to come out of it? You could also ask, what does God really want us to not partake of? It's really easy to pick out the things that are in direct conflict with the Christian walk. But are there things that are not so obvious? I'm going to turn to 1 John 2. I'm going to just read a couple verses here. First John 2, I'm going to read 15 and 16 here. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is and in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We look at these verses, they're fairly, would you say, familiar verses. It's a direct call for us not to get too wrapped up in the things of this world. God is calling us to not love the world. As we become comfortable and start to build a small fortune for ourselves, if we're not comfortable, we start to love those things more than the things of God. But is there something more that is keeping us from the kingdom of God? The world is filled with attractions. There is the amusement world, the pleasure-seeking culture that we are living in that keeps knocking at our door. There is also the so-called freedom that the world keeps pushing our way, telling us that we will have more freedom in the world's kingdom than the kingdom of God. But in that all, I feel, while all those things are a great threat to us and a tripping hazard to not putting away the world, there's something that comes closer home that actually trips us up of being part of the kingdom of God. Let's turn to Luke 14. I'm going to read a good portion of this chapter here. We're going to be jumping in at verse 15 of Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 15. And then one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat the bread of in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly unto the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which are bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother, his wife and his children, and brethren and sister, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, wherein he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, and it is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, The man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth down first, and counteth whether he will be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet great way off, he sendeth him message, and desireth the condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherein shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So how do we exchange this world for the kingdom of God? My first point here is we need to remove our selfish mindset. We see in these verses that the master is calling, come partake, come eat. You are all welcome. I desire that you join me in my feast. But in verse 18 it says, "And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse." We see that these are our everyday normal people that have families and have other things going on. They had to decide what they had time for and what they were going to turn down. We see that they were all giving a fair legitimate, would you say, excuse why they couldn't join them and why they couldn't make it to the feast. But yet they were judged for it. We can ask, isn't all these things that the people had going on okay in God's eyes? The one bought land, the other one bought animals, and the other was given in marriage. Aren't we not to take care of our animals? Isn't marriage a God-ordained thing? Doesn't God command us to till the ground and to maintain it? And by doing that, we need to buy land. So why were these people judged for doing everyday things that God called us to do? They did not put God first in their life. They valued their earthly things above the call of the God. You can live right and check all the boxes, as it were. But the Christian walk is not about just looking good. The Christian walk is all about a life of service and giving every ounce of ourself away for the service to our King. But as we look at this, I raise a question to myself. How many times do I give an excuse to my Lord? How many times do I justify not helping a brother because I feel my schedule is too full? The real threat to not becoming part of the kingdom of God is his selfish desires. Are we able to cancel those plans to go to a coffee shop with a friend? Because we had to go make, for your ladies, maybe canceling your plans because you had to go make a baby meal. We had a few of those recently. It takes work, it takes time. Are we able to take off the last minute from work to help a brother? Sometimes us men think we're always so busy, and we probably are. But do we make ourselves that busy that we can't reach out? Are we able to commit to a call? Are we able to commit to a call to go to a mission? There's a lot of different missions. It may be helping out here or there, it could be going to a far country, even though it doesn't even remotely look possible from a human perspective. But are we saying no because of a lack of faith that God can make it possible? Am I able to put the things I'm desiring? Am I able to put the things I'm desiring to do behind the things that God is calling me to do? I I think every one of you understand why each of them gave the excuse that they have. I expect that every single one of you has, at some point, has given an selfish, would you say, excuse. Because we're human. But sorry, I had missed my notes were out of order here, so. There's times that we have plans of doing something, and it's been a long time coming, but then there comes a request. What am I going to do with that request? My selfish desire is to say, I'll be there after I'm done with what I'm about to do. But a life that is committed to the kingdom of God puts others first in God's work. And puts God's work first in their lives. I'd be fooling you to say that it's easy. But since when did God promise that the pathway that He calls us to walk on, that it will be easy? Jesus, our perfect example that we look up to and debase our life on, came and died. He did not die for Himself. He did not die for a personal gain that He would receive, but He did it for you and I. He did not have to do it, but He did it out of love. He prayed, "Not my will be thine, but thine be done." So to be committed to the kingdom, we need to put our desire behind things of God and service to others. God is calling us to not to live and to... God is not calling us to not live and to buy things and get married. But if you are putting those things before the things of God, you are putting this world before the kingdom of God. In this all, I'm not promoting the idea that you should put your family in second place, like Merlin said. And thank you for making that point. There's times that you do have to take care and spend time with your family, because we are called to take care of them. There is a ditch on both sides of the road. Second point, in order to put this world behind the king and to focus on the kingdom of God, we need to understand the differences of the two kingdoms. We're looking at two distinct kingdoms. They are both calling our names. They are both have something to offer us. The kingdom of this world is saying security is found in taking charge of your life. The kingdom of God is saying security is found in full submission to Christ. This world is saying life is short, live it up for self. God's kingdom is saying eternity is forever, give everything up in service to the King. The world is saying trust only in yourself. No one else can take care of you. God's kingdom is saying trust in the Almighty God. He will deliver you. The world is saying all you do is live and die, and that's it. And God's kingdom is saying, come, live with me for eternity. As I thought on these two kingdoms, they are two distinctly different kingdoms. The one is here and now. We live in it and can enjoy parts of it without being part of it. We are born into the world, and it took no effort to be here. But the other kingdom takes preparation in order to make it. It takes planning and effort to plan to make it to the kingdom of God. Like it said in those verses, a builder doesn't build a house unless he maketh plans on how he will accomplish it. If we are going to make it, we need to study the Word of God and be committed to following it through. If we're not committed to the kingdom of God, we will default back into the kingdom of this world. Another distinct difference in the future of the kingdoms is, back in 1 John 2 and verse 17, it says, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of the Father abideth forever. If we are part of this earthly kingdom, when we take our last breath, there is no joy beyond that point. While there is lots of joy that can be had in this world, it's short-lived for those that are part of the earthly kingdom. But those seeking the kingdom of God, while there is joy of following God and the life of service to Him, the real joy comes when we enter into His kingdom forever. It's eternal. It will continue forever and ever. I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to witness a loved one slipping from this world into the next. It's a time of sadness because of the loss of the loved one. And as you watch in that time, the reality hits home and hard, because the reality that life for them is over. The door is closed. They will never live again. It is, you could say, it's so final. There is no more life on the earth for them as we know it. It's over. It's done. And for the world, the kingdom of the world, it's really done. But if you live a life of service to the true King, life is only beginning. And while there is sadness that they are gone, there is a joy knowing that they are with the Lord, and life in all reality is only beginning for them. My last point is, we must desire to be part of the kingdom of God. Without a desire, if you have a desire to go get something, unless you have a real desire, it probably will just fade away. We must be committed. Hebrews 11:24. I'm going to read just a couple verses here. It says, by faith Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptian saying to do were drowned. Moses had the opportunity of a lifetime, you could say. The rulers of Egypt were extremely rich and had a life of pleasure and ease. He may have had the even opportunity of becoming the next Pharaoh if he would have stayed within that family. There's many a Christian that stood at that crossroad and looked at the two roads that they had to choose from. And they stand there trying to decide if they were going to be going to choose the pleasures and opportunities, or if they're going to choose what looks like to the flesh as a lonely, boring walk. But those that are attracted to the glamour of the kingdom of this world will start by making justifications in their mind on how they can take the opportunity but still follow Christ. Moses could have said, I could do great things for God in the palace of Egypt. But yet he chose to follow God over the riches of Egypt. Raise this question today. Where is your heart today? Is it living a life of self? Or do you have a desire to live a life with the people of God? We have or will stand at that crossroads someday. And we will have to make a choice, whether it will be this world or the kingdom of God. What will you choose today? With those thoughts, let's kneel for prayer.